Hi, my name is Alex and I am a hypnotist. I hypnotize people all over the United States and in many other countries by using the video call feature of Skype and Facebook Messenger. As a hypnotist, I have learned a few things about the structure of the mind. And this job has given me a very unique perspective into the human mind, its motivations, the fears that we all share, and the pain that we all have to deal with at some point. I would like to share with you a few of the many fascinating insights that I've discovered hypnotizing people over the years. First of all, I'd like to mention that most of my clients are women. Why is that? Does that mean that men are all so well adjusted that they don't need help? No, of course not. It means that women are more likely to ask for help. Women are more likely to work on their problems. I notice that men prefer to stuff their emotions, hide their emotional pain. They ignore painful memories and they suppress emotional problems until the pain boils over in some way. This is not healthy. Another big advantage that women have in hypnotherapy is their ability to cry. Men are all pretending that they're so macho and tough, but yet men feel all the pains that women feel. Tragedy, loss, grief, depression. Men feel it just the same as women, but women cry, and in so doing, they're able to purge the ugly feelings. It's almost like they're vomiting those ugly emotions out of their body so that the pain can heal. And this crying is a definite advantage because men, they don't cry, but they definitely are not better off because they're not crying. They are stuffing their emotions, and that is dangerous and unhealthy, and it usually results in some flare-up of bad behavior, an emotional crisis, and it's never a healthy outcome. Crying allows us to express the pain we feel. Nature gave us the ability to cry for a reason. If we go to the funeral of a loved one, we're supposed to cry. This is sad. We love this person. But not for a man. He's going to stand there all stout and firm like a soldier, and he's going to pretend that it while, yes, this is definitely a sad time for him, but he's not going to allow his emotions to be expressed in a natural, healthy way in crying. And so later on, when you meet that man, it could be 10 years later, you know, and you see him drinking and just being a grouchy person, and you say, "What happened, Bob? Why are you drinking so much?" "Because I never got past the death of my mother. I never got past it." "Yes, because you never cried. You never had a healthy release for that pain. And until you do, you're going to try other coping mechanisms like drinking or just being a general jerk to other people, just being a grouchy person, a grumpy person." Crying is so much healthier than stuffing our emotions. The reason that hypnosis focuses on age regression in dealing with many behavioral problems is because behavior usually originates in our childhood. Children are still learning about how the world works. And so it is very easy for a child to get really screwed up by a trauma or an unpleasant event. As an example, let's imagine that a 6-year-old boy gets a D on his math test at school. It's not a big deal, right? It's just a D, right? I mean, that's how he should see it. Like, I'll try better next time. No, not this child. He's going to internalize this, and he's going to make some rather dangerous assumptions. He's going to think that he sucks at math. He's going to conclude that he's not very smart when it comes to school subjects. He's going to make a decision that, at least for him, math is impossible to learn. Fast forward to age 40, and this man still believes those things that he told himself as a child about he cannot learn math. He's no good at learning. He can't read well, and he's not good with books. He's just, school is not for him. And why does he still believe those things? Because he's been silently repeating them to himself in his mind for the last 30 years. And so in this situation, I am not a hypnotist. He has already hypnotized himself into believing that he is lousy at math, that he can't do math, that he's not good in school and reading and anything to do with books. He has told himself these things for so long, for so many years, that they have become true for him. And that is hypnosis, that he has told himself something over and over until he believed it completely and it became a reality for him. And so hypnosis can help here, because hypnosis will take him back in an age regression to that time when he was struggling in school to do better on his math, and will say, you know what? It was just one test. You'll do better the next test. And even at age 40, he can still learn to do math. He can still learn to improve his reading. He can still go back to school. Hypnosis can help him believe in himself and change the erroneous beliefs of his past so that he can reach his true potential educationally and just as a better human being. Let's imagine another child, 6 years old, a girl this time. She is so creative and expressive. She's always drawing. She's always singing. And she's always happy. And then a school bully notices her. Oh no. And he starts picking on her, calling her names, taunting her. And very soon she stops singing. And she stops finding reasons to smile. And she starts avoiding other children. As an adult, this woman is still going to have problems expressing herself at work or in social situations. She's going to have problems with intimacy because she never learned how to deal with the bully. She never learned the appropriate way to deal with that type of a problem. Hypnosis can help her. Hypnosis can take her back. It's a time machine. It can take her back to that 6-year-old schoolyard where she is being bullied, and we can say, you didn't deserve to be this bully's victim. The bully was wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. The bully is wrong. And the bully is behaving that way because he's probably being abused or picked on or pushed at home. And we can reframe this event in this now adult woman's life so that she sees it for what it really is. A stupid schoolyard bully who should not be allowed to affect a grown woman's life. And by exposing the erroneous beliefs, the childhood beliefs, they're so easy to expose because, let's be honest, a child is still struggling to figure out how the world works. And when a child makes a decision develops a belief about something, in all likelihood, it could be wrong. I mean, children believe in Easter bunnies and tooth fairies and Peter Rabbit, and it is very easy for them to believe something dangerous as well, like, I am horrible at math, or this bully is picking on me because there's something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with me. Those are erroneous beliefs, and we can deal with those beliefs in hypnosis. We can dismantle them and replace them with healthy, happier beliefs. We have all heard cases where child abuse has completely ruined a person's whole life because the pain has never healed and the person was never able to move on with their life. I am sure that right now you can think of at least one person you know who was abused as a child and it damaged them for their whole life, including their adult life. They were never able to let go of the emotional pain. This is the saddest case of all. And this is a case where hypnosis has proven highly successful in dealing with the child abuse and the trauma and helping to neutralize the negative emotions and pain that are connected with the event. Hypnosis is your best chance for finding a healthy way to move forward and move past childhood abuse. Perhaps the biggest secret I learned as a hypnotist is that habits can totally screw up a person's life. And I know that you can easily think of at least one person who has some very bad habit and it is totally screwing up their life. This is a big problem. Habits are supposed to be good for us, like the habit of reading every day, or the habit of choosing healthy foods to eat, or the habit of regular exercise. Some people have a habit of arriving early every day at work. That's a good habit. And some people have a habit of maybe having a glass of milk every night before bed. That's a good habit. But I'm talking about the destructive habits, the ones that they start invisibly and they look harmless, like when a teenager smokes his first cigarette, it seems like just a harmless little game, right? It's like, What's the big deal? Let's see what it does. All right. I'm going to puff this cigarette. Let's see what it does. All right. And then invisibly, the habit grows stronger and stronger. And the person's independence and freedom grows weaker and weaker until one day when the person tries to change his behavior, no. The person finds that he is trapped and helpless in a prison designed by that same destructive habit. Again, hypnosis can free you from this mental slavery, and it doesn't matter what the habit is. It could be heroin addiction, cigarettes, alcohol. It could be a chronic sex addiction. It could be whatever the habit is. There's an emotional reason why you're behaving that way, and hypnosis can just uncover the reason and neutralize the reason and reframe this habit into something positive. We can affect great change in your habits and neutralize and remove them completely. If you are ready to experience the power of hypnosis in your own life, I want you to call me. Hypnosis sessions by Skype are just $35, and I guarantee you will reach your goal after just 4 sessions or your money back. I am the only hypnotist in the world who offers a money-back guarantee because I know that if you give me 4 sessions, I will change your life and help you reach your goal. And amazingly, no one has ever asked me for their money back. Imagine having a private, personal hypnosis session to crush your life's biggest problems, all in the comfort and safety of your own home and at a time that's best for you. Call me. The phone consultation is free. Alex the Hypnotist, 989-954-7210. Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to talk about whether or not Jesus Christ was a practicing hypnotist. It sounds a bit crazy, right? Because you've never heard that conspiracy theory before, if that's what it is. And it might be, but let's look at some of the evidence and you can decide yourself whether Jesus was a hypnotist. It is a very real possibility that he was, and I believe the reason I am convinced that he was because I am myself a hypnotist. I have studied hypnosis in great detail. And so, because of my experience with hypnosis, I can see patterns in the way that Jesus did his miracles and the requirements that he had for those miracles to succeed very closely parallel the methods and practices we use in hypnosis today. I frequently chat with hypnotists all over the world on the internet, and I hear the feedback from many hypnotists, and they say, yes, definitely, Jesus was a hypnotist. As proof, I offer you the following points to ponder. Matthew 13, verse 58 says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Now, this statement made by Jesus, it implies that the subject has to believe in Jesus as a miracle worker. But I would suggest that if he was actually a supernatural being, his power would not be contingent on the subject's belief in miracles. Does that make sense? In other words, if he was truly a supernatural, magical being, it would not matter whether you believed in his miracles or not. He would be able to turn you into a frog just because of his powers and not because you believed that he could turn you into a frog. So the fact that Jesus requires your faith and your belief prior to the miracle is an indication that his power is not absolute. It is connected and contingent on the subject's belief in those same powers. In other words, Jesus was limited to helping only those people whose faith in him as a healer was very strong. This is also true with hypnosis. It is very hard to hypnotize someone who doesn't believe that a miracle is possible. It's very hard to hypnotize someone who doesn't believe in the behavior change that you're trying to achieve. In fact, most hypnotists would say that it's almost impossible to hypnotize someone who doesn't believe in hypnosis or is not even willing to give that cooperation and consent that we always look for in a good subject. In hypnosis, the client must believe he can change, he must want the change, and he must expect it. The same requirements that Jesus had to his people that he was healing. Next we have Luke 17, verse 6, and it reads, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Jesus was constantly telling people to believe first and then expect the miracle. That is the main theme, incidentally, of hypnosis and one of my favorite books, The Secret, by Rhonda Byrne. It's basically a hypnotic tome. If hypnosis was a religion, that would be Deuteronomy. That would be a very important book in hypnosis, would be The Secret, because of its incredible insight into the workings of your predominant thought patterns becoming reality, that thoughts become things, and the things we think about most become a map for our future. And so, yes, The Secret. By the way, if you have not read The Secret, but you've just heard about The Secret from friends and from online, I want you to stop whatever you're doing today and go get that book and read it. If you cannot afford a copy of The Secret, I'll share a copy that I have with you. I want you to read The Secret. It will change your life after you put down that book and you have really let the book's principles sink into your mind. You are going to be so happy that you read it. It's going to change your life. You're going to put on a white shirt like a Mormon and start knocking on doors and saying, "Hey, hey, hey, you've got to read this book. It's life-changing." It really is. I'm not exaggerating. That book has changed my life and many, many people's lives. And again, it's based on really powerful hypnotic principles And these are the same principles that Jesus used 2,000 years ago to have the amazing effect on people that he did. Next, I want to talk about parables. Parables are stories that have been used for thousands of years in order to emphasize certain moral codes or certain principles or certain concepts that were otherwise hard to explain outside of a story format. For some reason, people can understand a story a whole lot better than a set of dry facts and statistics. So if you tell people, hey, drunk driving is bad, you should not drink and drive, and you should not, and statistics show that this is, you know what, you'd have a much more effective method of influencing their behavior if you told a story about a girl named Sally who drank too much and she left the bar and she got hit by a tractor trailer and her family, and you, and it, by making it a story and putting real humans in context, people respond much better. They respond emotionally to what you're saying, and that means they'll remember it better and it will have a greater impact on them. So this idea of parables that Jesus used to emphasize concepts like kindness or love or forgiveness, Jesus would always use a parable. Concepts like greed and hypocrisy, he would use a parable. Okay, he was always using parables. And the hypnotist also uses parables in exactly the same way. We're constantly asking our clients to visualize this or imagine this, to see themselves as having already reached the goals that they set for themselves, and then stepping into that vision. We ask them to see things in a parable format because, again, they can attach powerful emotions to these ideas and have greater chance of making them real in their lives. So parables were everything, and Jesus used them predominantly in his teachings and in his healings. The parables were so important back then for another reason. Parables were the primary way that poor people, uneducated people, 2,000 years ago, got new information. Because you remember, those people were not educated, they did not read, and even if they could read, there was nothing to read. There was no bookstores or newspapers, there was no television or movies, there was nothing except storytelling. Storytelling was the only way for poor people back then to receive information, any information, whether it was just a pleasant story to pass the time, or whether it was a truly important religious story that had a moral objective to it. And so the parable was so important. And because Jesus was a natural storyteller and very good at what he did, people remembered his stories well. He was able to put a very powerful hook in the stories. It was a dramatic stories. I mean, these stories are still enjoyed 2,000 years later. They're timeless because people respond well to the parables of Jesus. And the hypnotist uses parables in a similar way to affect change in his clients' lives. The next thing I want to mention is when Jesus puts mud on the eyes and ears of blind people and deaf people in order to heal them. In hypnosis, we frequently use logic loops that only make sense if you are in a hypnotic trance. For example, putting mud on someone's eyes has very little scientific or medical benefit, but because Jesus said, I'm healing you and this is how I'm going to do it, the person being healed is going to attach a great importance to the act of mixing the mud and applying the mud. I guess you could say it's a placebo effect of sorts. The subject believed that the mud had healing powers, just like many people today would believe that holy water from a priest has healing powers, or that water from a special brook that was considered holy by the local inhabitants, that also has some healing properties, okay? And you can get this type of belief from people who believe in healing crystals or similar natural artifacts. They might use the bones of an ancient man for to heal gout or something. As long as the client believes that this item has this power, it does have this power because the client believes it does. Placebo effect. So this is very similar to what the hypnotist does. He's using things that are non-medical and saying that they have a medical result or effect on the client, and the client accepts it. Okay. You could also see a parallel with the laying on of hands that Jesus does. Okay. You can see that even today, the very few faith healers that still exist, they use the laying on of hands. They put their hands on the client in such a way that it looks as if, or it is made to appear, that magical power is transferring from one person to another in order to heal. And Jesus did it, and faith healers do it, and hypnotists also like to touch their clients. I feel like I am a Skype hypnotist, which means most of my clients, I never get to touch them. And I can tell you that when I do an in-person hypnosis, it is much more powerful, much more effective, because I get to touch them. You see, something fascinating happens when you touch a person who is not your wife or your child, who is not already given you permission to touch them. What happens when I touch a stranger, okay, is their protective self says, hey, this guy's touching me. Shall I allow it, or shall I be offended, or shall I seek protection somehow? Well, when the hypnotist touches his client, the client is saying to themselves, I will allow this manner of touch because I'm only touching them on their head or their arm or their hand. So the client says, I allow it. When the client tells themselves those words, I will allow this. Now, that's an acceptance of what I'm doing, and that allows me to go even further in the hypnosis process, which means because of that consent, that cooperation, that agreement to let me do what I'm doing, that is deepening the level of hypnosis and the level of effective hypnosis that's coming. So that is a similar technique that Jesus uses and hypnotists also use, the laying on of hands. Okay, right now I want to talk briefly about the miracle that Jesus did when he walked on water. Okay? Now, it was written in a couple of places in the Bible where Jesus was seen walking on water. Okay? I want to put this into your mind, and you can think of this. Which is easier? Is it easier to hypnotize a few people and get them to think that they saw me walking on water, or is it easier to actually walk on water? As a hypnotist, I would tell you, it's a whole lot easier to hypnotize a few people, and I could get them to believe that they saw me walking on water. And then they will in turn go out and tell other people, I saw it, I swear I saw him walking on water. Because I implanted that mind, that memory into his mind under trance. So in his mind, he did see me. He saw me walking on water. Yeah, I didn't do it in reality though. Let me give you an example. We have in hypnosis a famous technique called the gastric lap band surgery, where I put a client in trance and then I ask them to imagine that they are on the gurney, the hospital gurney, and that the gas mask is coming, and that they're having the gastric lap band procedure. And they're going to remember every part of the surgery, and the doctors, and the scalpels, and the machinery, and the IVs, everything. The cardiac monitors, okay? And when they emerge from hypnosis, they will believe that they had this surgery, and as a result, they believe that their stomach is now much smaller, and so they will feel so full when they eat. They eat a cracker and they feel, oh, I'm full, because they have an actual memory implanted in their minds of having this weight loss surgery. And so, again, back to the walking on water. It is a whole lot easier to hypnotize a few people to make them believe that you walked on water than it is to actually walk on water, okay? And you can apply this to other miracles that Jesus did, like feeding the thousands of people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. That type of mass hypnosis, first of all, it would be impossible in Jesus' day when a crowd of peasants, I'm going to call them peasants because there were no businessmen or modern people. They were all basically agrarian farmers and the like back in Jesus' time. And you could tell because the descriptions of the people in the Bible match what I'm saying exactly. So these very simple people, okay, did not get to witness him feeding thousands of people. What happened was a crowd came up to Jesus along the beach near the sea, okay? Now, the sea is a flat place, right? I mean, the beach is flat. So people didn't have the ability to see, like if they were standing on a mountain, they could see him visually feeding thousands of people. No. What happened was, the people closest to him saw whatever they think they saw, and then they spread the word back through the crowd. They says, oh, he's feeding us all with this bread. Well, I know that this is not a scientific scenario of controlled situations where we can actually test this. It was word of mouth, and it was the testimony of people who were easily fooled. For example, if Chris Angel were to go back there, or David Copperfield, he could easily get these people to believe the very same thing, because these are skilled illusionists, okay? And if my theory is correct, which I believe it is, and Jesus was a hypnotist, it would not be hard for him to hypnotize the people around him, maybe four or five people, or 12, as the 12 disciples were always following him, right? So maybe those were 12 highly hypnotizable people, and he would hypnotize them, and then they would spread the word that Jesus is feeding everyone magically with just a few pieces of bread. And so that is a whole lot easier to do than to actually feed thousands of people with almost no food, okay? So, we can also apply this same theory to when he turns the water into wine. Okay, now I want you to think about that. You can go online right now on Google and you could do a search for hypnotists doing stage hypnosis where they have someone pretend to drink wine. There's not even a cup involved. It's an imaginary cup. And then they pretend to drink this wine, and then they are suggested by the hypnotist that they are very drunk, that they are feeling very, very drunk. And then the fun of this performance is when the subject starts acting very drunk. And he starts sloshing his speech and spilling his imaginary drink, and he's saying all these funny and rude things, just like a drunk. Well, if we're doing that, and that is a very common and favorite hypnosis technique for stage hypnosis. It's a common routine that they do, is the drunk pretending to be drunk. So if it was possible, if it is possible to get a modern person to believe they're drunk when they're not, well, certainly it was possible to do the same thing 2,000 years ago. And Jesus was, if Jesus was a hypnotist, he was definitely a master hypnotist, because he was very skilled at making people believe that he was a miracle worker, okay? The next thing I want to point out, okay, to support my theory that Jesus was a hypnotist, was when he talked constantly of forgiveness of sins. Okay, there's an entire branch of hypnotherapy. One of the main techniques I use is forgiveness therapy, where people feel guilty for so many reasons. And most of these reasons, they're not even actually guilty. For example, a child might witness the divorce of his parents, and although he had nothing to do with it, internally he blames himself and he feels guilty for the divorce. And decades later, he could still be paying the price of that guilty feeling, because it never goes away. And so you can see that while Jesus was saying forgiveness of sins, right? And that the hypnotist is saying, forgive people who have hurt you so that you can move on, and forgive yourself so that you can heal. Very similar concept, right? Another similar concept that Jesus would promote all the time was preaching love. And by love, he would give constant examples of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is always compassionate and forgiving. And he would give so many examples. The Good Samaritan and the lady who went to the temple and gave her last little penny because she wanted to help. This preaching of love, okay, effectively mirrors the same concepts that we in hypnosis practice in hypnotherapy. This concept of love, for example, someone who is suicidal, someone who is smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol to excess, I would say that they do not have enough self-love. They are not practicing enough love. We preach positivity, and positivity is nothing but a modern way of saying practice love and practice love principles. Principles of kindness, forgiveness, is all the ones I've mentioned. Just a gentle, peaceful, kind-hearted approach to life. A positive approach that's going to cancel out all the hatred and all the anger, the fears, the worries, the sadness. It's going to cancel that out with a light, happy, loving care for your fellow man, and care for kindness and just in general, being a positive person. It's the same message. It's just not religious based. It's just scientific based and just socially based ideas. love is not copyrighted in any religion or in any philosophical creed. Love is something we can all practice and something we all need in our lives. Otherwise, it's my opinion that we do suffer big time when we don't love sufficiently in our lives. We will not be happy and we'll make other people unhappy in the process. That is all I have to share with you about my crazy theory. Was Jesus Christ a hypnotist? And I look forward to hearing your feedback. And the last thing I'd like to say is that if you are interested in a hypnosis session with me, please contact me. I can hypnotize you by Skype or Facebook Messenger at a day and time that's convenient for you. Hypnosis is fun. It really works, and we can help you reach your life's biggest goals and remove the biggest problems you face in life today. My rates are affordable. I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but as of today, my rates are $35 a session, the lowest anywhere. And I know you're going to be happy with the results. If you also are just curious about hypnosis, or even the $35 fee is a bit much for you, I also offer free hypnosis sessions to volunteers who allow me to record their sessions. And I don't show their face. I just post the sessions online to let other curious viewers see what the process is like and let them get more comfortable with what hypnosis is about. If they see a volunteer going through a session with me, they feel more comfortable calling me for their own session. So again, if you want a private unrecorded session, it's just $35. And if you want to be a volunteer, I won't charge you anything, but I'll record your session. But you will remain anonymous. I will not show your face and I won't use your name. So no one will know that it's you unless you tell them. And you can reach me by emailing me at funwithhypnosis@gmail.com, or you can call or text me anytime, 989-954-7210. This is Alex the Hypnotist wishing you a fantastic day and a prosperous and happy life.